Mr. Tables, Co-Chair Parnell, Senator Lehman, Senator Wilkins, Senator Green, Senator Kelly, Senator Adams, and myself, Senator Torgerson. We have two bills on the schedule today. We will go on the order posted. First bill up is CS for Senate Bill 107, Labor and Commerce. This is an act relating to the Tourism Marketing Council, eliminating the Tourism Marketing Council and providing for an effective date. The Chair of Labor and Commerce is joining us to present the bill. Senator Mackey, we'll turn the meeting over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, do you have a CS in your packet?
We have the Labor and Commerce CS.
I thought we had additional CS to clear it up. There were some things that technical changes that needed to be done. I'll find out as soon as I'm done with my statement. Senate Bill 107 initiates a fundamental change in the manner and method of state government involvement in promoting Alaskan tourism. Under provisions of the legislation, the state's current participation in the marketing of Alaska as a tourism destination would be accomplished through a contract with a single qualified trade association to provide the planning and execution of the marketing program. Therefore, the state has appropriated substantial amounts of public funds to participate in a cooperative marketing effort with the representatives of the tourism industry. Combined with matching funds from the industry itself, the effort is jointly managed coordination of public and private resources to promote the entire state as a tourism destination. The coordination of this effort is accomplished through the activities of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council. It's the intent of SB 107 that all of the state's tourism marketing functions are consolidated and performed under contract to achieve a more efficient and effective result. The legislation would dissolve the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council and eliminate other tourism marketing functions in the Division of Tourism. In its stead, the state would pursue its marketing goals contractually. The contractor must be a qualified trade association that initially contributes at least 30% of the cost of the contracted marketing campaign. In 3 years' time, the association's contribution to the campaign increases to at least 60% of the cost. The Division of Tourism retains its oversight, governmental coordination, and advocacy functions for tourism development in the state. Basically what it does, it just consolidates it all into one contract, and the Division of Tourism then serves more of an advocacy role for tourism, and all marketing functions will be done under contract. After a three-year transition period where the industry steps up to a 60% contribution, we then would have about a $10 million marketing program for the state, which is twice as much as what we do now. However, the industry steps up to 60%, and we all feel that Alaska will be better marketed in that scenario. I'd like to ask Joe from Representative Terrio's office if he could come up and talk about fiscal notes, if you'd like, Mr. Chairman. We've been working very closely with Representative Terrio, who he and I have the companion bills for this, and have worked through the budget scenarios with both Senator Parnell and Representative Terrio, and tried to coordinate that with the subcommittee chairs of commerce and both bodies as well, to try to come up with the proper fiscal notes and try to make a determination of what we would recommend to you that Division of Tourism would look like once this contract kicks in. And it was my feeling that the direction that we had received was that not only would ACMC go away and be eliminated, but that there would be a reduction in the overall personnel and responsibility of the Division of Tourism. So with that, we've prepared, in Representative Terrio's office primarily, fiscal notes for your consideration. In addition, I was just handed a fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, which is a little bit different than what we have proposed. However, I've just had an opportunity to take a look at it. So I'd first like to address our fiscal notes, if we can, and then I'm sure the committee can look at what the department had requested. Wherever you'd like to go from here, Mr. Chairman, it's fine.
Since she's already at the table, we'll do that. We're jumping the gun a little bit, right ahead of the bill, but go ahead. I know you have other things to do back on the other side, the dark side.
For the record, Chairman, my name is Joe Balash. staff through Representative Terrio. And in front of you, I believe that you have some draft fiscal notes constructed by the House Finance Committee in anticipation of our hearing tomorrow afternoon.
Do all members have the House fiscal notes? I'm not sure they do.
I don't have it.
I'm not sure
if
they're
not. I have copies prepared here.
Okay, let's pass out the your fiscal. I don't think they. I have them, but I was. I'm not sure that.
In addition, I also have a little one sheet explaining the line for tourism development in fiscal year 2001. Sort of our first draft at looking what the division will look like under the proposed legislation in 2001 after we've gone through this initial transition year.
Joe, let me interrupt you. Did you have a fiscal note from the department prior to making up your own fiscal note?
We had one on the original piece of legislation. However, due to various changes made at the first committee of referral and the subsequent subcommittee, they then needed to revise their fiscal notes.
That's why I think we're jumping the gun a little bit. We still have the original bill in front of us. So let's go ahead. Let's go through what you have.
The numbers that we have used for fiscal year 2000 reflect the numbers of the House Finance Subcommittee on Commerce, which Representative Terrio chairs, closed out their subcommittee with. There are some savings in this initial year, the transition year, and then you see in the fiscal note for the APMC, in 01, everything goes away down to zero.
We have a couple.
The fiscal note for tourism development for 01 reflects a change in personal services, travel, supplies, and then quite a big leap in the contractual line, as you can see, which is due to the rolling in of the contracted amount that will be going to the CPA under the proposed legislation.
So the CS that the House ended up with, and maybe this is Senator Mackey's same goal, is to eliminate ATMC completely.
That's
in 00.
These two fiscal notes that Joe's talking about do apply to the bill you have in front of you, Mr. Chairman, which is the Labor and Commerce Act.
Okay.
I just received, to the Senate bill, I just received this fiscal note from the Department of Commerce as I walked in the door. So I have not had an opportunity, and I'm sure Jenny Faye's here and will be able to talk about that fiscal note.
Well, as the chairman of the committee, I got it after you did, so consider yourself lucky, maybe. Any questions of Joe on the Senator Lehman?
Chair Mackey, in the Labor and Commerce Committee, I remember, I'm not sure I can trust that memory, but I remember you saying that the first year cost would be about $4 million, and I see the system as 4.6. Do I remember it correctly?
So we had said it would be $5 million, then $4.5 million, and then $4 million. However, what we did is the $200,000 that is needed for the research and the tracking and some of that, which was going to be in a different part, we chose to show that in the contractual. So that shows in the contractual line on the fiscal note for that marketing, and that's why it's 52, 47, 42. But I wanted to just go a little bit further. Do you have exact number of what tourism was this year? It was over $7 million in terms of all funds that we're doing for tourism this year in the current fiscal year, FY99. And correct me, Joe, if I'm wrong, but for this next coming year, then it would drop down to $6.7 million, and then in 01 it would drop another million to $5.7 million, and in 02 it would then go down to $5.2 million, and in 03 it'd be $4.7 million. These are all fund totals, and we show from $7 million this year in a 3-year period down to $4.7 million.
Chairman, Senator Mackey, I was under the impression that this next year's reduction would be substantial or substantially more than what it is shown here. Why is it I mean, I think there was something in our previous debate that suggested that it would be substantially more in the first year.
Actually, Senator Lehman, the reason for that is because we do have to have a transition period with APAI or APIA, whatever. Trade organization needs to do its bylaws. It needs to get up and organize and come up with its trade structure. It needs to work out the details on how they're going to pay for their contribution. And we've always known there was going to be that one-year transition period. That's why from 00 to 01 is where we show the $1 million drop, and then 500,000 a year after that. So again, for Senator Donnelly and Senator Phillips, we start out this year's funding, we've got $7 million all funds, then we go to 6.7 in 00, 5.7 in 01, 5.2 in 02, and 4.7 in 03, and then it would stay level at that 4.7 rate.
Senator Wilkins?
Mr. Chair, where are you getting the $7 million from?
That's in this current year's budget.
That's in FY99.
Right, that we're about to complete.
And actually, FY2000, it goes to 6.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then it drops to 5.7.
That's correct.
So the net effect of this legislation is what?
Well, then
what are we adding?
Well, we're going from 7 million to 6.7, so it's going to be all funds. We're doing the general fund program receipts, and then you have an elimination of the ATMC. So you show a $300,000 all fund savings this year. You show a $1 million all fund savings in the second year. Then it's $500,000 the next year, and $500,000 again the year after that. So 7 million to 4.7, it looks like about $2.3 million all over the course of this transition. And that's where the industry steps up to 60% rate during that. As we're going down, they're going up.
And then, if I could, Mr. Chairman. So then the fiscal notes here, we're not talking about those yet.
Yes. Well, as far as that's the chairman's project. That's what collectively working this with the House. These are the fiscal notes that we feel are appropriate. It does take reductions in the Division of Tourism. I think that the division will come and tell you. My understanding is that they need more money than that. That's certainly your decision to make. These are the fiscal notes we'd like to ask you to consider, as well as the department, of course.
Thank you.
Other questions on the fiscal notes? We need to finish the bill first and get our finance CS, and then we'll come back to the fiscal notes. And I will certainly work closely with the House so we mirror fiscal notes. But at this point, I'm not going to say that we're going to adopt anything until we get through with the bill itself. So we have to kind of work out the amendments, if there is any, and then go from there.
Mr. Chairman, just one other thing, if I can. We all receive this tourism development. This is distributed right now. If I could just explain what this is. This will show what we believe the Division of Tourism will look like with the positions and the numbers and the locations and where they would be located. And this is this is what reflects our fiscal notes that we provided to you for your consideration. This should not be confused with the fiscal note that the department will present and talk about.
Senator Mackey, is there a provision in the bill that that absolutely eliminates ATMC?
Yes, it is. I believe it's Section 2. Let me double check that.
Eliminated the executive director.
I stand corrected, Mr. Chairman. It should be Section 10. On the last page.
Okay. Well, that's an effective date.
You have a different section than I do.
Okay, this is a new one.
Is it one of the repealers?
It is. Probably is.
33,700.
33,700, and that's from section. Section 9 on page 7, and I do need to just check real quick as soon as I'm done here to make sure that we have the correct correction in front of you. I apologize about that.
Okay. Yeah. Clearly towards the market. Okay, is there questions of the sponsor? Any other questions of the sponsor on the bill itself? Joe, thanks. We'll work through the fiscal note and get back with you when we kind of huddle up on what we're going to do. I appreciate you coming over this morning. Senator Lehman.
Senator Mackin, I know I asked this question at the Labor Commerce Committee, and the answer, I think, probably wasn't as clear as at least as I would have liked it to have been, but the transition is from 30% qualified trade organization to 60%, but it's in a two-year, wait 2 years, and then there's that big step. Why was this not proposed to be a more gradual transition, so say 30, and then the next year 45, and then the next year 60, instead of taking that the bigger step? It would help us, I think, in our budgeting for future years. Why wasn't that part of this package? And if it were proposed to do that, what would it do to the deal?
I don't know if I can answer that. This was all, you know, kind of the department and the industry, and those of us in the legislature kind of all working together to find something that would work. I think it does work. Not to say that your method wouldn't work. I'm not sure what the impacts are. I'd prefer to hear maybe from the department or from the industry directly to that question. I never really got into that particular detail.
Senator Mackey, I understand on these fiscal notes there is a reduction from this year's level of a couple $100,000. Is that correct? $300,000.
And that, I believe that, and that's why I think where the department and us may, you know, may have some differences. I assume that was the direction we wanted to go. If not, you can certainly make those changes.
Okay. Other questions? Senator Wilk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Mackey, on this sheet here, could you explain now that we have it what this sheet says again? And what is APLIC?
That's the Visitors Information Center in Coke.
That's a state-run facility.
Actually, perhaps the department can explain all the details about that, but that, my understanding is that's the center where everybody that comes across the border has access to about information about the highways and about Alaska, and it is, my understanding, to be a real key component in the, you know, as the RVs and other people enter into our state, what to do, the interior and the rest of the things to do. And
is there going to be someone from the department to explain this?
Yes. Jimmy Payne is here, and I believe we'll respond to any concerns about the department.
Thank you. He waits in the interior.
Other questions for the sponsor?
Just wanted to thank Senator Wilkin. This, again, this was prepared by us according to our fiscal note, and this was not given to us by the department. So their fiscal note would probably represent something different than what this says.
Mr. Mackey, I have a couple, so don't run away. on page 2, section 3, we talk about the first right of refusal to the trade organization. I don't particularly have a problem with. I'm concerned that we don't have any timelines on how long this would take. So if we did have another opportunity to offer a subcontract to somebody, the qualified trade organization could sit on it for a while, unless there's underlying regulations that control that. So just, do you have any comment on that?
Actually, I prefer again to have Jenny's comment on that. That's a situation where is if there was a specific area that the Division of Tourism wanted to be marketed and the Trade Association was unwilling to do it, they could offer that contract to another organization. However, then this organization could have first right refusal and step up and actually match the money and do the contract. So it's just all part of the checks and balances to make sure that we're maximizing the use of both private and state dollars.
Okay. probably most of these are for the department, but let me... That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Mackey. Okay, next we will go to Jenny Fay from DCD. Senate Labor and Commerce, sir.
Senate Labor and Commerce. Okay, so that's actually a little bit different version than what we've been working on the House side. I think the main difference is Ken Cook went through and cleaned up a lot of technical details, and it has a couple amendments that I think have been added. But one was just forwarded from the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And another one was that I guess what I need to say is that this, the what we passed in the House and worked out and worked through in Senate Labor and Commerce is quite a few people, a great deal of time and effort reaching a compromise and a bill that was acceptable to the administration and to the ABA. We think it's a workable situation. We have a lot of work to do in the next transition year. The organization is not up yet. It doesn't exist really yet. And we will be working diligently with them to make it a success. Would you like me to talk about the fiscal note?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Basically, I think they've given me two fiscal notes. One for the FY 2000 for the ATMC, we don't really have any problems with that. Then the central note, where we differ on the central note, and I apologize if this isn't good to you sooner, we had been following our usual procedure of writing a fiscal note for the bill and not necessarily a fiscal note for the budget, which is why you probably have two fiscal notes in your packet. The premise that we worked on for the year 2001 and beyond was that we've transferred our personal services costs for our interim sessions to the new trade association under our contractual line because they have said that they would be doing inquiries. So we reduced those personal services, but provided the funding to them to do that. Then from there, we basically took the activities that the Division of Tourism currently does, because our agreement with the APA and the position of the administration all along was that the Division of Tourism needed to continue to be a viable division that could do tourism development and promotion and also be able to have adequate resources to manage this contract. Basically, what the division will be asked of the division after this transition period is that we will be doing the contractual work that the division does now plus the contractual work that the ATMC does now. We've eliminated the three positions for the ATMC. In total, we have six positions reduced from the state, from state employees. But the Division of Tourism will be essentially being asked to have the contractual oversight that the ATMC now has, plus the contractual oversight and work that the division currently has. On that basis, for 2001 and beyond, our assumption was that we wanted to at least get through the transition period with the number of staff we have now, because we will have an increased workload in terms of contractual review. We will be shuffling duties, and there might be some duties that will be diminished because of contracting, but there will be other additional duties that we don't do now that we will be asked to do in 2001. I think the difference ultimately in our fiscal note is approximately $200,000. That they cut out of our budget that we do not believe at this point is appropriate to say that, that really, we really can use that funding and be able to effectively manage the contract and do the research that we need to determine its effectiveness.
Okay. That goes contradictory to the testimony from the sponsor, but we'll have to work through the fiscal notes. Let's see. Are part of these personnel positions for the TOC Visitor Center? Is that
well, what is maintained in what is maintained in our fiscal notes are the TOC Visitor Center positions. And essentially
for $83,000?
I'm assuming, I don't have our budget in front of us. I'm assuming they took the FY99 budget figures are 2012 to come up with that 83. If that is indeed what they did, those numbers would be identical.
Okay, and then you got to be leaving. That's four people. You said you were leaving six. So where's the...
We would have 11 positions total at the end. Four of them would be in the TOC Visitor Center. And then they have nine. Essentially, there would be two additional positions that have been taken out. But they have taken out that we do not agree we could function without them.
Who is they?
That's the House.
Budget subcommittee in the House?
No. The budget subcommittee in the House is different than this fiscal note.
Okay, well, just tell me that.
We're in agreement on the year 2000. Where we disagree is what happened in 2001.
So you would leave, you have this sheet of paper that was handed out earlier. Joe, do you have another one? Okay, let's go down that list. All the employees of TOC would stay.
Right.
And the division director, the Juno positions, are you saying all of those would stay?
Yes, plus there would be additional two more in Juno.
Well, this is a great consolidation. and fixed costs, research and fixed costs, the $200,000 there, why are we leaving that?
Well,
if you take those positions, that's $394,000 according to this, and you have personnel services at $674,000. So we're $280,000 difference there. But we must have other employees in the personnel services line somewhere.
Yes, I'm saying that there are two additional development specialists that have been approved that are in this year's budget and have been approved in the year 2000 budget. And are reflected in the 2000 budget in this system. But they are deleted in 2001.
What's their pay range? $50,000?
Like they're approximately 72 each of these nine. I don't have my budget numbers in front of me right now.
Well, that's 140. Now we're only 140 short still from your personal services. I don't want to get into this. We're going to have this defined a little bit better on what positions that you intend to keep and their responsibilities all the way across this. I think the sponsor is going to need to look at that as well as the committee. Now, the fiscal note shows your intent by dollar, but not your intent by position or contract. We're going to have to have a little better breakdown of that. I agree with some of your assumptions that you probably do need some personnel to administer these contracts in the departments, but I'm not necessarily saying it's $700,000 worth of people.
Senator Torgerson, I guess one thing that I'd like to clarify is I think that the discussion on this bill has been focused primarily on tourism marketing. There are a lot of responsibilities that the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and the Division of Tourism have that relate to tourism that are not marketing. A number of those things, for example, I'll throw out that we have been meeting with the ambassador of Iceland and the State Department to look at Icelandic Air beginning a new air route into Anchorage. We work with the National Park Service on visitors' use of the national park. There is a great deal of activity that two of the positions in the Division of Tourism do right now that have nothing to do with tourism marketing. We have money from the Federal Department of Commerce Economic Development Association for looking at possible ways of working with small business to do economic development in rural Alaska through expansion of tourism opportunities. None of those things that we're doing have anything to do with tourism marketing. And I think that it's important when you look at the budget in the year 2001 that you don't go to where you strip the department of doing everything except supporting the contract for tourism marketing. Because I think you'll find out that many of the traditional state functions, especially in a state that has so much state and federal land that need to be coordinated with other state agencies, that you will end up getting our ability to work effectively and have tourism happen in Alaska in a way that we can make use of federal land and state land, but at the same time continue to have people move out of our very crowded corridors into other areas and move into opportunities in small communities where tourism jobs is a significant impact on payroll and that community sustainability. So I guess what I'm asking you is, I think the fiscal note that was done on the House side and by the sponsor is focused on the tourism marketing support, but I don't think it provides adequate support for being able to do that as well as make sure that the tourism development functions are addressed.
And it's your understanding that when you were trying to broker a deal between the visitors industry and the sponsors that there would be personnel left in ATMC and it wouldn't be a consolidation done what the House has done in their fiscal note? That was your understanding?
My understanding that during the transition year, the year 2000, there would be positions left in the ATMC. There was actually $102,000 cut out in the House budget to not fill the executive director position of the ATMC. The ATMC board decided approximately a week ago that they would fill that position in an attempt to not have an impact on the contractual line for the ATMC that would be the basis for the future year's contract. That $102,000 budget cut for the ATMC for next year was passed to the Division of Tourism for next year. Our fiscal note reflects that because we could see the tide coming in and figured there wasn't much we could do about it. For the years afterwards, there is a reduction in 6 positions because the ATMC is eliminated and our inquiry section is eliminated. And you would have to look, if the part that is confusing is the fiscal note that I just gave you today is the fiscal note just for the Division of Tourism. There is another fiscal note that is just for the ATMC, and they are zeroed out in 2001. I did not do anything with that fiscal note because I found we decided it was acceptable.
Questions on the fiscal note part of this? We're going to have to bring it back and do some work on it. Senator Adams.
The only question I have,
Senator Wilkins.
The division here, the number of people you have in Juneau, total of 7, Do you still keep the accounting oversight function?
Yes, there's people legislation with you.
Through the chair, Senator Adams, we still keep the accounting oversight, and that is actually an oversight. Our admin section is combined with the Division of Trade and Development. So some of the positions, some of our admin support is shared with that other division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Adams. Senator Wilkins?
Mr. Chairman, three questions, please, on this sheet.
Yes, okay.
First, these are loaded costs, I assume. The salaries with Bird.
I assume so. I didn't prepare the sheet, so I...
Well, just I'll assume it is, unless I get differently. The contractual is with... Who would that be? Is that the new organization?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkins, I would have to talk to the person who prepared this
for me.
I'm confused also.
Then the last question, I wonder if you could get me or someone could get us a organizational chart for this suggested organization. And specifically, it seems to me just by reading these nine employees up here that we're really top-heavy. We have a division director for 100,000 who administers an administration manager who administers five people. So the director of span of control is responsible for one admin manager and two development specialists. I would rather see, I mean, that suggests to me that this organization is top heavy. So I would rather see if they can do it, to get that same amount of money, peel out one of those managers and put that into the marketing. So if someone could draw us up an organizational chart, I'd like to take a look at that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Bill, you want to come back up and tell us about answer Senator Wilkins' question? Go ahead and reintroduce yourself for the record.
Yes, for the record, Joe Balash, staff to Representative Terrio, sponsor of this.
Did you understand the question? Under the contractual line, what the research was for and the fixed cost line?
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Senator Wilkins. The one sheet here outlines the cost for the Division of Tourism aside from the amount of the contract to be awarded to the QTA. In 2001, Qualified Trade Association. In 2001, it's projected to be a contract of $5 million. So when you take a look at the single sheet for tourism development, there is $200,000 left in the contractual line that would be for the division. Those fixed costs include the rent at the Tok Visitor Center, various chargebacks for computers, telephones with the Department of Administration, also executive and administrative holdbacks within the department that go to the commissioner's office and the Division of Admin Services. The $95,400 is the cost of a conversion study currently conducted by the APMC. The bill outlines that the Division of Tourism shall administer and evaluate the contract program. This $95,000 would do that. It would allow them to see how effective these marketing dollars are going to be. So I believe I've answered the question.
$60,000 grant line, did you mention that?
The $60,000 goes to, I believe the title is Village Initiative. The name of the grant? Yes.
The Rural Tourism Center.
Pardon me, I didn't.
The Rural Tourism Center.
So, Joe, in your personal services line on the House fiscal note, you are recognizing whatever the nine positions?
These nine positions as listed, yes.
Okay. So that would keep the Tok Visitor Center at its current level?
Correct.
And keep the division managers and all that other stuff that you have specified.
Yes. I do have copies of the division's current organizational chart if members would like to see this.
His, Jenny was saying that there are two new development specialists in 00's budget. Did you guys allow those in the budget? I'm assuming it's the same two that you're recognizing here in the out years.
No, they're
new. They're in this year's budget. They've been in the budget
all along. Oh, they've been in the budget all along? No, there are no new positions in here.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought it was an amendment.
Decrease, but no new one.
Okay. Senator Green, excuse me.
Yeah, Jenny, which development specialists are these? What's their field? What is the field? What is the development?
One does planning. One does other development support. And then two of them do...
They're strictly tourism.
They're strictly tourism.
Okay, that's okay. Thank you.
Four of them that are strictly tourism.
Is any other questions of these witnesses? Do you have suggested changes for the cleanup language that I've heard about? Does anybody have that? Senator Mackey, do you have that? The suggested cleanup language that you said the bill needed?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, my staff in Labor and Commerce found that in the drafting of the CS that's in front of you, there was a little bit of cleanup stuff that needed to be done. We indicated that to your staff, and apparently you wanted to first hear the bill and figure out what questions and what we needed to work on before we had a CS drafted, so we do not have one in front of you now, but it's relatively easy to get that.
Is the House version similar to where you were going?
Yes, we intend to have it be exactly the same, and that's why I realize it's kind of unusual what we're trying to read off the same sheet of music here.
Mr. Chairman, can I make one other comment to Senator Wilkins? As far as the sheet that you pointed to here, again, I wanted to point out, we had drafted this to our fiscal note. This wasn't speaking to the department's request. Actually, if the department had done one of these, there would be several more positions listed here that are not listed in our version. So, or two others. So, I mean, right now you have 11 positions,
right.
And what we're suggesting is 9 positions.
And we're suggesting...
And you want to keep the 11 positions. So...
We want to get 11, 3 of them part-time.
So.
3 of them seasonal.
We like the party here.
Boxing gloves on the settle it. Senator Wilkins.
Just while we're on that, and we have this sheet now, could you then... I can get down as far as division specialists aren't on this organizational.
I don't have one of those in front of me. The four positions, and I think one of the biggest problems with this diagram is it says tourism, marketing, and sales, and that really isn't accurate because it's tourism development and marketing. Tourism development and sales. And those are the four positions.
The admin manager one is where on this sheet?
The admin manager is under the administrative support for the center.
The, do we have admin clerk two?
Okay, that would be under the Division of Trade and Development.
Oh, it's the box we can't read.
We share these positions with the Division of Trade and Development.
Which box? I can't read it.
I think it's this one.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Phelps.
Materials office here. Something's a blackout, so can you let me just read it, and if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. It's overseas tourism contractors, Germany, Japan, Taiwan, Korea.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then Australia and UK is the other one, right?
Australia and United Kingdom.
Right. And then over to the Division of Trade and Development, Administrative Assistant. range 18, is that what it is?
That's correct.
Okay.
13?
Looks like 18 to me.
Ottoman's friend Gary.
Senator Graham.
Mr. Chairman, I have a kind of problem, well, in some of this, in that it sounds like to me that there's only going to be one qualified trade association eligible and in line to do this. And if we base everything in this on the awarding of that contract to a qualified trade association, how do we get past what I assume are the bid requirements and the standards the state is held to in setting aside money that we probably all know is only going to go to one group? And how do we assure that that's right? And I don't have any big problem with it, but because I know it takes investment on their part. But I does this mean then that the Division of Tourism could go only to that one association and never have to receive another bid?
So instead of me answering that, it's a good question, and I think it is covered in here. But go ahead.
Section 3, I think it's still Section 3. I'm looking at the House draft right now.
It is Section 3.
It exempts the contract from procurement. The difference, if you all go on and just talk about the difference that was made in the House that you're considering possibly adopting, was it exempted all tourism marketing contracts on the notion that if we went out to the Qualified Trade Association and asked them to do this contract and there was a piece of it they didn't want to do, then another player who might come forward and want to do that piece would also be exempted from contracting. The House felt that if you were going to exempt this one organization, that you should exempt all the tourism marketing contracts, so there would be more of a level playing field for all potential bidders on contracts.
Okay.
But is there participation funding the same for the second group or the alternate group that might receive the contract?
To the Chair, Senator Green, we are required, if we were to go, if the Qualified Trade Association does not want a contract for a piece, or a component of the tourism plan, then we could go out to contract with someone else, but the terms of the contract would have to be, could not be materially different than the contract offered to the Qualified Trade Association, which means they would have to come up with the same match as the Qualified Trade Association.
Mr. Chairman. Follow up, Senator Green.
No, I'm still thinking.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to respond to. In other words, if this organization that we assume is going to form, APIA, they weren't able to enter into the contract for whatever reason, and there are several reasons, then for another entity to get the contract, they'd have to come up with the $6 million. And so, or a portion of that, let's say there was a $1 million portion of that marketing contract, somebody would have to come up with the appropriate match the same way in order for them to get the contract. So, there's plenty of incentives for the Trade Association and the Division of Tourism, Department of Commerce, to come to agreement on marketing contracts, because there's a huge amount of money to be lost if they're not able to do it. So we've gone at this from devil's advocacy. I've been the biggest devil's advocate every possible way, and I've come away from this thing convinced that there's really no way that we're going to end up not having a good marketing contract in a significant amount of money going into this thing. Otherwise, there's so much to be left on the table if they don't do it. Somebody really is going to be hanging out there if it wasn't able to be accomplished.
Senator Green.
I still am concerned about setting up an exclusive contract for someone. And I don't see how in a state this size you end up with two groups that could possibly raise 40, 50, 60% of what that is. And so we're saying, I wonder if the department needs a fallback if something happens to the trade association. I mean, because if we're creating something that only one group can qualify for, which may be just fine, what happens if everything falls apart?
In the event, Mr. Chairman, in the event that they're not able to go into that contract, the department still can take the money that we give them, the state money, and do a marketing plan. But that's the fallback. They still can take the money and go out and, contract to do a marketing initiative with the state money. But that means that they would have, after 3 years, the $4 million instead of $10 million. So there's a huge amount of incentive for them to be able to enter into this contract and be able to have a $10 million marketing program versus a $4 million one by the state. Okay. And in the event that that ever happened, that they ended up just marketing $4 million and the industry did not step up to the plate, I would assume the next budget round would be, so there's plenty of incentive for them to get it together. I mean, I can't imagine that you're going to see the state go back to the existing marketing type plan because they couldn't work out the details.
Okay.
Senator Green.
What did you prevent the division, not that you would ever do this, from just saying, we're not going to deal with it this year. We're kicked off for whatever reason, and we're going to make it impossible for them to fulfill that contract. Is there provision to prevent that?
Go ahead.
Chair, I think that it would be, my reading of the bill tells me that it would be virtually impossible for us to do that because we could not go out and contract with anyone else for the entire contract. We can contract out for components they choose not to do, but in a situation where they were not going to do all of it, we would be forced to do it in-house, which we would be incapable of doing because right now, the portion of marketing that we do is all contracted out. We don't do any in-house marketing.
What is the terms of your contracts? This bill doesn't really stipulate that either. Is this going to be a yearly negotiated issue, or longer than a year? Or how do you anticipate handling that?
Chairman Harrison, my reading of this is in section, at least the current section 7 of the draft I'm looking at, is that it would be an annual contract because it says on or before August 1 of each year, we would contract with a single qualified trade association.
Okay. If you follow Senator Green's line of thinking that maybe something happens to the trade organization, just above that in Section 6, you are may not enter into another agreement with anyone as long as you have an existing agreement with the qualified trade organization. So I think that goes contradictory to your testimony that you could enter into another contract.
Senator Person, no, it doesn't, because if you look at the end of that section, it says, except as provided under 125 B, C, or D. Okay, well, I guess your version is not...
We have the Senate version in front of us right now, not the House version.
Well, I guess I don't have the Senate. Basically, that same section is the same, except I don't think it's... I think you have different letters there because Pam hasn't cleaned up the technical problems with it. But what this section...
That's one of the problems we need to fix. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
What that section does, though, is it says we can't enter into another campaign except for the provisions in which they do not choose the right of first refusal or they choose not to do a component of the plan, in which case we can do that.
Okay. And then the question I asked Senator Mackey earlier on the right of first refusal, are you all right with the way this language is written in there, or should we have some sort of timeline in there for rejection and offer so that it can't be too blocked by somebody?
Senator Torsen, I think that under the way we do contracting right right now. I understand that this is exempt from procurement, but I think that we would always still put timelines just the way we go out for proposals now, and someone has to respond at a certain time. I think if we were going to go out and contract, we would have to be setting the response date for both parties in order to make sure that things happen in a timely manner, and I don't think there's anything in this bill that would prevent us from doing that.
And under that same subsection B, where you have the first right of refusal, should we put an exemption in there unless it's authorized by the legislature, or is that just a given? I'm not sure if the legislature passes a law that we're going to come underneath this, or if the law would just supersede first right of refusal. Or we might even do it by appropriation. I don't know.
I don't think I understood your question.
Under, on page 4, subparagraph B, at the bottom of the page, it just has to do with the first right of refusal. It says, first right of refusal for every tourism marketing-related contract offered by the department. And that is just a question of whether or not we should put an exemption in there for if the legislature approves that to happen.
I guess my first thought on that is that it would require that you be in session in order for us to move forward, and I think that we could end up with the idea for things like this would be if there was additional money that we received, that we would be able to offer an additional contract, and if we had to wait for legislative approval, I think we would end up waiting a long time, and it might not be possible to do the work involved.
You're making the reverse of my debate, but I understand what you're saying. It's right now, the way that's written, even if the legislature approved it, the department could not enter into a subsequent contract because you're restricted under that language. It probably just takes care of itself and whatever we did, but it's just a concern that I have.
I guess what I say, you're saying that if you wanted to have an appropriation for a specific purpose that did not... That
you're forbidden from entering into it under the terms of that agreement, under the terms of this language.
Senator, that is true. There are things that we could not do even if the legislature or the governor asked us to do them under this language.
I'm just a little worried about that. Well, that's why I asked the question. If the legislature approved it, I would think that we should have language in there that says unless authorized by the legislature. That's all I'm saying.
We didn't have a problem with that.
For your consideration, we don't have an amendment now. It's just one of the areas I had concerns with. The next, unless there's questions, I'll just move through my few things here. Page 5, lines 10. 10 and 11, parts of 10 and 11. Here we talk about the department may not impose a matching requirement, or no matching, maybe I'm reading that wrong, or the department may impose no matching, no, that's right. So you, part of this, you're required to match, and here you're saying you don't have to. Is that something that, talk to me about that one, explain why that's in there.
Well, I asked Ken Dole to come up also. This is something that we worked out with the ADA.
What's the department's response to that?
Well, our response to this is that the intent of this section, my understanding from the ADA, is what we wanted to address situations. If they were being responsive to our concerns, the example that was coming out of the window with the Malice being a ferry blockade. And we received additional money to do marketing to ensure that passengers booked on the Alaskan Highway System didn't all cancel their tickets when that blockade happened. We received an emergency $300,000 appropriation from Department of Transportation to do some specific directed marketing. This section would allow us to have the option of amending the contract that's in place to have them do the marketing work. The concern was that in situations in which you all of a sudden have an infusion of new money that was not anticipated, that they might be, not be able to raise the matching funds in order to be able to do the work. And we'd hate to have a situation where some important emergency marketing couldn't occur because there wasn't an industry match.
I don't disagree with that, but that's not what that language says. So if it's for emergency or those kind of things, then I think that's fine. But this is pretty broad-based exemption. Senator Mackey.
Yeah, well, it starts actually on page 5. It says that during the contract, additional funds are received other than what's already committed to the contract. They may require or may not require additional funds. And if they get, I mean, let's say some cruise ship company gave them $1 million grant or something just to throw into their, they hadn't prepared for it, they don't have the matching funds available. Under the circumstances, the department wouldn't necessarily have to charge them a matching amount to include that grant money into the marketing effort. So I think it does say what we intended it to say, but it does give the department that flexibility to work with them on that.
I don't think the cruise money would be requiring a match. I think we're talking about government money here, so it is a little different. I understand what you both are saying, but I'll probably try to work on a little clarifying language there just so you don't have the opportunity to tell one organization you've got to have a 60% match and another one you don't need any. That just seems to be contradictory to what we're trying to do.
Senator Ferguson, I would point out that if you look at line 9 through 11 in its totality, basically what it's saying is that the required match would not have to match the contract requirement of the match requirement of the original contract. It is also possible that we could require more than the 60% match the way this is written right now. What it does is it gives flexibility for how much the match would be.
I understand what it does. And I think the flexibility is too flexible, but maybe not. It's certainly just, any other questions, or I'll continue on with a few more of mine. I know we have other people to testify. And last year's bill, we had some, this is on page 6, starting with line 6. We had some questions on the qualified trade associations and the materials and things that they produce being turned over to the department for them not being public after they're turned over to them. And I think we worked through that. All but we came up with an example of what would we do if the new organization came up with a new state logo that we are now going to use for, and it becomes the thing that the state uses. We're required, or under this, is the way I read it, we can't release that and continue to use it. Is that how I'm reading this, or would it, is that not the case?
Is that on line 6, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, it really has to do with materials produced, and I'm broadening the materials produced to anything. So it may be, who knows, I'm thinking of a logo, but and I'm trying to remember what our debate was on the version last year, I couldn't remember anymore, so I just wrote it down and asked the question. But if this trade organization happened to produce the new WizKid logo for the state of Alaska, and then they're no longer the organization that does our work, are we prohibited from using that under this statute of not making records public and materials public?
My understanding of this, what this section was intended to address, things like mailing lists and marketing information. I guess in the example that you raised, if we were to use the Qualified Trade Association under contract to do something, to produce something like a state seal, that wouldn't be, would not be a public record.
Is that what we want?
Well, I don't think, I have to analyze this a little bit more, but I would not think, I don't envision that we would ever have as part of this contract them performing work that we wanted to have public.
Okay, well, review that. I mean, that's just, I think we went over that on the logo part, and it seemed to me like we made another section or another amendment to this kind of language that has some exclusions to the materials. And I'm
My understanding is that this section reflected Senate Bill 350 of last year.
I don't. It may have been answered last year, but we'll.
It is exactly the same as the section last year, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe my question wasn't answered last year. If it was, I don't remember. Okay.
If it was, it probably wasn't.
It probably wasn't. It comes in right behind the fiscal note, the answer to the question. Other questions of any of our witnesses here? We do have some more, and we have some on teleconference that I need to get to. So I appreciate your patience in answering my questions and walking through this. And hopefully that'll focus us for the rest of the witnesses. Senator Mackey.
Yeah, just one final thing. I just wanted to let you know it's our intention that this vehicle, when we get done with the CS, will be the vehicle that will go to the House. So
okay.
The work that we're doing on it hopefully will be done here in your committee.
Okay, very good. Okay, I appreciate that. Next we have signed up Ken Doyle with Alaska Visitors Association. If you want to join us at the table, sir.
Chairman, Senators, my name is Ken Dole. I'm the current president of the Alaska Visitors Association. I thank you for the opportunity to testify. I won't bore you with long speech, just to say that we spent a tremendous amount of time putting this together. We're very pleased that we've been able to reach agreement with the administration. Our goal of having one marketing plan and the ability to raise significantly more private sector dollars, I think, can be accomplished through this plan, as well as being able to reduce the public sector dollars. For the most part, our goals have been accomplished through what we're looking at here today, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Okay. Other questions of Mr. Doyle? Do you have any remarks on the questions that we had earlier as we worked our way through the bill?
It seemed like
anything seem off base to you or something we need to work on?
Nothing that I can really point to. There was the discussion relative to the section that if additional funds became available, and we did reach agreement with the administration that we're obviously going to try and raise as much money as we can from the private sector, but we're not always going to have a lot of extra money sitting around. So if a component came available for a specific project, we were the right group to do it, then we would like the capability of doing the project without providing the 60% match because we weren't ready. We didn't know that we were going to need to raise the money to do that. And that's what we hope that section provides. So that was the goal in that direction. It was not to try and avoid matching any core dollars. It would only be new dollars that we weren't aware that were going to be created.
Okay. Appreciate that. Any other questions for the witness? There are none. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you.
Steve, I can't pronounce your last name.
Bendy.
Bendy. Okay. Thank you, sir. You'll join us. Give us your testimony, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Steve Benke, and I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Wilderness Recreation and Tourism Association, which is maybe the second biggest statewide tourism association in the state. We represent mostly smaller Alaska-owned operated tourism businesses, mostly tour operators, wilderness lodges, rafting companies, small tour boat operators, that sort of business. We support the consolidation of tourism marketing that this bill provides for. We plan to get our members involved in influencing the new organization that would be created to respond to the bill. But part of the reason we've been supportive of that is that the state has assured us it's going to take a strong role in making sure that the contract is balanced and reflects the interests of small tourism businesses. And so we'd be pretty concerned about any cuts to the Division of Tourism. I think that we really see that a strong role for the state being critical to making the thing work. And I'd have to say that we're also concerned about overall levels of funding for tourism marketing, that small tourism companies in the state have been impacted by declining state dollars, overall dollars for tourism marketing. We're really losing out in competition with other parts of the world where there's major government-subsidized tourism marketing campaigns, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Those are all competitors with our kinds of businesses that try to attract adventurous travelers that really bring the most dollars back to the state, bring the most benefits to the state in terms of dollars spent per person. And so we're really concerned about that, and we think the current levels are really too low, and if they drop further, we don't really see how this plan can work. Other than that, we think we have to move ahead with things.
Questions, Steve? There are none. Thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Anyone else here that didn't get a chance to sign up that wishes to testify in Juneau? If there is no one else, we will go to the teleconference now. We'll start in Valdez with Lisa Von Bargen.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate being allowed to testify. Just a couple of remarks I want to make. Again, my name is Lisa Von Bargen, and I'm with the Valdez Convention and Visitors Bureau. Our destination marketing organization is very excited about the idea of cooperative marketing that's outlined in the new Millennium Plan. However, we need to stress and impress upon everyone the need to make sure that the funding reduction that comes from the state of Alaska is in fact gradual and happens, is reduced on a gradual basis. Participation in the new Qualified Trade Association, the ATIA, is voluntary, and there are many destinations and many businesses around the state that are still trying to figure out where they're going to get the money required to participate in the play-to-pay programs that are outlined, pay-to-play programs that are outlined in the plan. So it's extremely important that the state funding be diminished on a gradual basis so that we can find out if this plan is actually going to work, and so that we give destinations, businesses as well, the opportunity to come up with the necessary funds to meet the funding goal that the ATIA has outlined. Also, I'd like to echo Steve Behnke's remarks that the role of the Division of Tourism is extremely important in representing and advocating the needs of the small tourism businesses in Alaska. Many of the businesses represented by the Alaska Wilderness Tourism Recreation and Tourism Association and by destinations around the state in Valdez and in other places, of course, have four or less employees and don't have the voice or the monetary ability to take a stand when it comes to matters like this. And it's important that we continue to have that advocacy role and representing role that the Division of Tourism plays in helping those businesses. That's all I have at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other questions? There are none. Thank you for joining us this morning. Next on teleconference is Kathy Tarr in Kenai.
Good morning, Senators. My name is Kathy Tarr, the Executive Director of the Kenai Visitors and Convention Bureau, and I've been listening this morning, and I appreciate all the work that the Senate Finance Committee is doing on this bill. I know you have all raised some very interesting questions, and looking at the language, just this morning I saw the committee substitute for the first time, and I think that a lot of the questions that the Senators have raised will be answered when the new organization is formulated and works with the Department of Commerce in trying to come up with the best language for the new contract and regarding things such as oversight and performance measurements and standards for the new contract, and also in coming up with the best possible marketing plan in this new public-private partnership. If there's one message that I want to leave with you today, it is to protect the core funding, as Lisa just spoke to, from the Division of Tourism, allowing the industry time to reorganize and go through this transition period. The core funding from the state of Alaska is absolutely paramount to this new plan and the success of it. As Lisa also said, there are still a lot of things that have to be worked out in regard to the industry's new Millennium Plan. As you know, it's based on a voluntary contribution from the private sector, and many of the convention and visitor bureaus in particular, we have not quite figured out how the funding formula will work, but we are in support of this consolidation. And I also wanted to mention that the board of directors of the Kenai Visitors and Convention Bureau just last night adopted a resolution in support of the consolidation and the new Millennium Plan. So this legislation, Senate Bill 107, actually, you know, puts in place the mechanism that we need to work with the Department of Commerce, form the new industry association, and then hopefully, with input from all around the state, develop the best possible marketing plan that we have with the funds that we have available to do that. So from Kenai, I just wanted to leave the message with you to please protect the core funding from the state of Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there questions? There are none. Thanks for hanging in there. Is there anyone else here in Juneau that wishes to testify one last shot? Okay, we'll set this bill aside. I will work on CS to bring back forward with the sponsor and with the administration. If members have amendments, we probably won't bring this up until since we're going into the budget starting tomorrow. We won't be back to bills until Monday or Tuesday next week, and this will be one of the earlier ones we bring up. So if you have suggested amendments, please get them to my office so we can incorporate them in our first shot of the CS. We will be taking up Senate Bill 52 next, but the sponsor stepped out, so let's take a short recess. The next bill before us is Senate Bill 52. It's an act relating to competition and local telephone exchange service. We did hear this bill once, and we held it for amendments to be prepared, and we do have one in front of us now and one being copied for us to consider. The first amendment is by Senator Green. So, Senator Green.
Yeah, I'd move amendment number one.
Objection. Amendment number one has been moved, and there is objection. Senator Green, if you would explain the amendment. So.
Yes. This, along with the other exemptions included in the bill, which I think refer to municipalities and perhaps something else, this would exempt telephone co-ops from the provisions of this bill. And in the all the conversation about the federal legislation on deregulation and all, this is probably the epitome of the problem of deregulation as it hits outlying areas, and particularly with one who has a telephone service area from Eagle River north, nearly, I think, to Healy. And it has to be protected in order for service to be continuing to all those outer areas. And we're concerned that there would be a negative impact on the service and the quality of service if MTA were pulled in to the provisions of this, because of the numbers of people that are included in that service area and the number of lines.
Senator Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment in the future that may address some of Senator Green's concerns. One of the problems of exempting the MTA is that it is a fairly large area that we will be saying that there will be no competition in the future. And I also wanted to say that we're deregulating isn't really correct. If this bill passes, there will still be a substantial amount of deregulation. As a matter of fact, the APUC, even after this bill is passed, could say no to competition in the MATSU or any other area in the state, because they will be bound by the bill, which makes reference to the Federal Telecommunication Act, that leaves much of the decisions for regulation still within the APUC. I hesitate to talk too much about a future amendment, but I think many of Senator Green's concerns and the people of the MAP2's area concerns can be met in the next amendment. And if you wish me to talk about that now, I will. If not, I'll just wait.
exclusive license for Mansu either.
What?
Not exclusive license for Mansu either. About 40% of the service areas in the Chugiaki or three rural areas of the telephone problem.
Mr. Chairman, may I hear the difference between, since they're quite, the first portion of these, Amendments 1 and 2 are quite similar. I'd like to hear the difference.
The difference are that, page 2, line 26 is the only difference.
One of the things, Mr. Chairman, also is when we look at this piece of legislation with or with this amendment, what effect does this have on the telephone rate, whether you're in Mansu or Kenai or some outlying areas? And I think that's a concern that many of us have on this piece of legislation, Mr. Chairman, and that's why we look carefully at these amendments.
Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Adams, early on, actually, I had this bill last year in the House, and early on it became apparent that we had to be careful about what might happen with the Universal Services Pool. If you'll look on page 2, I think it's line 26, not 26, but page 2, line 9 of the bill. You see that we have to, that the regulations ensuring universal services are the APUC must consider the impact on the universal services in deciding the competitive environment. So your question is a good one, and it is addressed in the bill.
Then,
Senator Adams.
On the universal services, then this does not change the present policy of the universal services and the change of those rates as we collect from each telephone user?
No, Mr. Chairman, what it does is it allows the APUC to determine that if allowing competition in an area will negatively impact universal services and to what degree, the APUC will be able to determine whether we go ahead with competition or not. That, by the way, is part of the Federal Telecommunications Act.
Senator Green?
How does that differ from what can currently be done by APUC?
It really doesn't differ at all, other than the fact that if you were going to say we're going to allow competition in this broad area, it defines the areas of the regulatory process that are still within the purview of APUC, which determining what happens to universal services currently is in the purview of the APUC. After the bill, it will still be within the purview of the APUC.
So it really doesn't make a difference. I mean, this doesn't add anything they can't do now.
Correct. It takes something away from what we've been asking them to do, which has been the problem in carrying out some of the Federal Telecommunications Act.
Mm-hmm.
The extra decision that they've had to make, which is competition good or not, is a problem in bringing competition to the local exchange business, just as it was a problem when we were deciding about long distance. APUC did not seem to be the proper body to be determining that policy call. And we're just saying, you don't have to make that anymore. You still have to follow everything that's in the Telecommunications Act and make sure the universal services are not negatively impacted.
Other questions on the amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I would just recommend that the members vote against the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that members vote for this amendment so that we won't see the negative impact from a much larger utility able to come in and leave Trapper Creek, Chalkeetna, some of those areas without. Because cooperatives operate under a totally different set of rules. And they have to do things private carriers don't have to do. And they've been held to that standard and done very well. And
kids can't relate to it.
Okay. Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if Senator Green was alluding to this, but if you are concerned that a larger utility would come in and not provide air, service to areas currently under MTA and only take the high profit businesses, that's also addressed in the bill. You can't do that. If you can't come in and cherry pick under this bill. You have to come in and take the entire, provide service to the entire service area or not, study area or not at all.
Senator Lehman?
I have a question. I'm sorry I got back here just after you gaveled in, but I want to know if this amendment has been amended for the next to the last line. Does it still have the commission shall deny an application, or was that amended?
We have not.
And we have not, yes.
Senator Lehman suggested that we change on line 10, change shall to may, and that brings it back to the standard that they're currently at. Otherwise, this would require an application be denied, and that's not what this was intended. It just they may deny.
Mr. Phillips, and then Senator
Abbott. I support Senator Green's attempt here because we are in a co-op. I don't, ATU is a privately owned utility, is that right? Is that right? ATU? I'm trying to figure out.
I think it is.
It's municipal, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's old this year.
Mm-hmm. Nonprofit.
And the Fairbanks people, is it privately or publicly owned?
Privately.
And then in Kenai?
Private.
See, we're in a different situation here with this co-op. That's why the reason I was asking the question is to get a point of reference from each of the members around the committee, because they're, you know, obviously you're familiar with your own utility company. But this is a different situation where we have co-op members who are the very members that I'm a shareholder. Light is a shareholder of MTA. We control the services that we want, and the consumers actually have a lot of say in what goes on with MTA. Why I support this amendment. I know we're in a different circumstance between a lot of you guys around the table here.
Mr. Chairman. No, Senator Adams, excuse me.
It's Senator Lehman had just a suggestion to Shelton May, and I just wanted to know why you're looking at permissive language such as that. Are you wondering why competitive local exchange telephone service, they need to be able to carry out their duties, and they need good financial statements, or was that just a suggestion made on the language?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I suggest that to Senator Green because the language currently written, from my understanding, is inconsistent with the Telecommunications Act. And I didn't think that was her intent. And I just wanted to point out that it creates an inconsistency. You should at least, if you're going to take this step, provide the authority for the commission to make that decision. And I just wanted to alert her, at least that was my understanding. And if others have a different understanding, that's fine. But you know, I don't fully understand the act, but at least to the extent I understand that much, it's my opinion that that's what it does.
Can we have a brief meeting?
We may. Senate will stand at the Senate. Senator Graham, please come back to order.
All right, thank you.
Senator Green, would you have? Okay.
Somebody doesn't.
We still have the motion before us.
Some individual
amendment number one. Has been moved. Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's with the. May.
You have amended it.
Oh, do we need to amend?
The amendment as written. I don't know what May is.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would accept the language in on line 10 to change shall to may. I would like to move the amendment to the amendment.
Okay. Amendment to the amendment has been made to delete on an amendment. On line 10, the word shall, and insert the word may. Is there objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment to the amendment has passed. That brings back the full amendment to the committee. Is the objection maintained on the full amendment?
Is there discussion?
Let's vote.
Roll call, please.
No.
Wilkins?
No.
Senator Adams?
Yes.
No.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Phillips?
Yes.
Senator Johnson?
No.
Senator Parnell?
No.
Senator Torgerson?
No.
Four yeas, five nays.
So by a 5-4 vote, amendment number one failed to be adopted.
It's really a big
fear base,
isn't it?
Is it?
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number two, sir.
Amendment number two has been moved. I'll object.
Has it been distributed for nature? Has that been? Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, this is an amendment that essentially allows Senator Green's amendment to be adopted, but sunsetted in 2 years. And in studying this, it is not unreasonable to claim that there is a difference between co-ops and business and private business. In the future, all of it is going to be competitive. And what this does is it gives co-ops in the state the time to adjust to competitive markets, take advantage of technologies, to take advantage of management changes or marketing, to prepare for a competitive environment. And then, as I said in the discussion of the earlier amendment, all of the regulatory decisions that go into allowing for an exchange now will still have to be gone through for competition to be in that market. So it'll actually be longer than 2 years.
Discussions on amendment number two?
Yes.
Senator Adams.
I'm just looking at the amendment. I'm going back to lines number 7 and 8 of the amendment. Yeah, the amendment. The commission shall approve an application on finding that the application is fit, willing, and able to provide the service. What happens if the commission finds that, and I'll use the example as GCI, that you can look in the newspapers that the stock is falling and they're having financial problems at this per time, and they're defaulting on a few loans. My question is, would this language, as it states, would now allow them to compete in some of the markets?
Mr. Chairman, fit, willing, and able is determined in the Federal Telecommunications Act, and it leaves those decisions up to the APUC.
Then with that statement, Mr. Chairman, I don't know whose letter that we received here, Heather Graham, that we all have in packet, it says she believes that this bill, as it's written, violates federal law and several aspects, and that has to do with rule exemption. And is there any validity to that fact that this bill does violate federal law according to 47 U.S. C. 251 to 276?
Mr. Chairman, the bill as it is written and the bill should we vote and accept this amendment will require the APUC to carry out all regulations in accordance with 47 U.S.C. 251 to 276.
Other questions? Senator Wilkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Kelly, I'm supportive of the amendment. I guess being somewhat associated with the utility change in Fairbanks, it took forever for that to happen, and I'm questioning the two-year date. Talk a little bit about why that might make people more comfortable if it were more than 2 years, 4 years, say. Would the dust settle from what we're going to do this year in the legislature in time for them to be able, 2 years from now, to come back and revisit this?
For one thing, Mr. Chairman, it'll be, as you said, it took forever. it will be longer than 2 years for one to get into a currently defined non-competitive environment after the sunset. I think the level of comfort will certainly be for the managers of the utilities. I don't know that it will be a level of comfort for the customers, our constituents, because I maintain that competition is good for the rate payers. And it is, you don't see a lot of Joe Sixpacks coming up here and testifying against this bill, and you never have. What you've seen are managers of utilities coming up and testifying the bill. So yeah, it'll give a level of comfort to those who are currently managing utilities. But the people who will benefit from it will benefit from competition sooner rather than later. And I think that was the whole idea of the Telecommunications Act in the first place.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Other discussion on the amendment? Okay. Is there objection to amendment number 2? There is objection. Roll call, please.
Senator Adams?
No.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Phillips?
No.
Senator Donnelly?
Yes.